Relationship. statement they're going to be releasing today after this meeting. And the principal thing that is outlined in the statement is our willingness to work to develop opportunities for growth and for stability of employment in this industry. It's a thing that we've been working on in many different ways, but that we can give new verb and new vigor to as we go through the ensuing 4 years. So that is particularly the main thing that we've been discussing, and that is outlined in our statement. But there are a few other things that I thought I'd just mention to you that we've had some discussions of that I think that you ought to be aware of. These discussions have gone over the last 2 months. For instance, there always have been very concerned in this group about a really fair administration of the Davis-Bacon Act, and we've assured them of that. That we're going to not propose what is traditionally called anti-labor legislation, the kind of thing that we've talked about, you know, and just like that, it's a divisive kind of thing, and we have that as an understanding. Now, there's going to be an attempt on our part in the Department of Labor to get somebody from this organization even higher than we've already made an appointment. Now, we have, for instance, in our safety organization, taken in one of the operating engineer staff, one of our principal men. We're going to try to get somebody from out of this contingent, this group of units, into a consciously high-level position into the organization to make them feel hopefully even more comfortable than we do now. And that connection is very important.
We need representation. We've got Bill Usry, of course, he's been invaluable, for example, in postal strike and some of these other things, because basically he knows the business, you know what I mean? And the difficulty is that is in getting somebody, getting people that who in the government who can really give us the real feel of the labor side. Rather than simply somebody that's going to talk at it, but we'd be part of it. And this is what we want. Now, the problem, of course, is finding the people. And that's where you fellows have got to come up with good names. And you know, even your own organizations, there are very few people that you will go to the top. And you've got to recommend the right guys. You can do it. We want them. We're looking. In other words, this is not a question of your people asking for something. It's a question of our seeking it, because I want this administration to be broad-based. I've tried to point out when I'm in Miami on that show, because I do not look upon this as an election in which we have Republicans versus the Democrats, and we're just going to have Republicans. We want Democrats represented. I don't want business versus labor, or labor versus business. We want both, and right up and down the line. That's why I've totally rejected the idea, for example, of what some call quotas. That to me is completely antagonistic to the American idea. The moment that you get the quota business, you know, and you say because of color or religion or something, you have so many. You're restricting people. You're restricting people that you may put a ceiling, a floor on, but you're also putting a ceiling on. I'm against it in both areas. Well, but I digress. The main point is that in this instance, I want you fellows to be thinking of what we can do. Take, for example, the commission that we have spoken about in Labor Day speech. Now, I deliberately have not, in the industrial peace commission, I have not indicated, any membership on that, its composition, how many, or who's going to be on it before the election, because that'd be pure partisanship. I mean, you know, it'd be considered partisan. Afterwards, we want your advice as to how many should be on, and also as to names, and that's what we're looking for. In other words, we don't look upon this as sort of a one-way street, so we will appreciate your advice on this matter.
That's one of the things we've been talking about.
So therefore, these fellows are for the commission.
Well, if there's any group of you leaders in this country that's with or working jointly, it's this group right here. They've done more of it than any other single group that we've worked on.
They set the stage, actually, with the, you know, everybody, without some disagreement, but it does mean that you fellows have really given a stimulant for a new approach to labor management relations, which we think can be extremely helpful.
I think there's all that can be done, and that's a launching pad from which we start from this sort of thing. And that brings to mind another thing that we've been talking about, and that is that if as a plan that we start taking controls off there, this
right.
industry is very concerned about that in that phase that they preserve a kind of relationship that we've been able to develop and make sure that in any kind of adjustment period there that we work carefully with them to make sure that it's done in consonance with their interests. And I think it's a real good idea. It would be one thing consciously that we would want to do because we started with them before the other guys started, and we'll probably continue with them in ways of our own devising afterwards. So that's another thing. Another thing that we've talked about is we've got a group of people working on a long-range plan for the energy crisis in this country, particularly
yeah.
building the power plants.
Yeah.
And that's going to be
big business. Big business for all of you.
Well,
I don't think anybody realizes what the crisis is. You follow us tonight, but I've been looking at some studies here, and it's just, we just got to get into this thing. We got to get into it in a very big way, or about 10 years we're going to run out. Well, we've got power shortages in the Northeast. What a, we have every year now, right?
Jack, how many billions of dollars is this we're talking about over the next 10 years in that power industry? It seemed to me that it was 80-some billion or something.
Yeah, it was around 10 a year.
So it's really something that we can work on, and work on it very much in connection with this other long-range idea of manpower, growth in jobs, and leveling of employment peaks and valleys. I guess that really there's a final thing that these people may seem like a minor detail, but they're very concerned about. There's some action going on inside the administration, particularly in HUD, where we've been working on adjustment of building code. They haven't really had any input into that until recently. We've now arranged with Secretary in HUD to form a joint to involve them. And so these are the kinds of things that we've been working on and understanding community development.
They haven't been working with the unions.
Well, that's right. They've been sort of developing this thing to a point where the unions felt it would be a good idea for them to get in and get some what I would call practical input.
But they should have been.
You better. Sure. We've got that all right now.
That's what the agency's supposed to do. But they're doing that now.
They are. In fact, we completed the formal arrangements of it in the last 10 days.
Mr. Secretary, you kind of read my mind. I mean, we passed three resolutions at our last convention. One was with reference to wage and price controls, one was with reference to TOT, and the other was with this standardization program. So,
I'm not getting into psychiatry here, Tommy. Frank, maybe you'd like to make some observations this time. You know, Mr. President, we have some endorsements from the president, but the Building Trades Department as a department, because of the arrangement that the AFL-CIO has with regard to neutrality this year, they have to kind of stay once removed from this. But we wanted, Frank and Bob 13 wanted to be part of this operation so as to get the feeling that they weren't standing outside of this activity.
Well, Mr. President, as usual, Jim does a good job. He's about said it all. But as a result of this fine relationship we have, in particular with the Labor Department, and Secretary Hodgson, Under Secretary Lieber Silver, we talk occasionally not only about Labor Department problems, but we'd like to get into other areas of discussion where we're not very happy. And these discussions led to Larry and Jim both saying, well, now look, you fellows think that you want some improvements in some of these other areas. What are you going to do for us? So on a voluntary individual basis, we could do something. And this is a result of it. Now, I just want to make one other point clear. There's 9 presidents here. There's 8 that are not here. This does not mean that there's 8 that did not want to endorse President Nixon. 2 were absent. 3 had taken a neutral position. And the other 3 haven't decided whether they can or whether they have the authority. 3 that took the neutral position can't back off. But they will. I would guess it would be over 1 or 2 that won't be actively supporting the administration or here for the re-election. You, of course, any administration. So, this is why we're here. We wanted you to know that we're wholeheartedly behind your re-election. And we expect to help you very, very much. And let me repeat that this legislative conference that we had in April, we had 4,000 people here. And this is the second time I've invited you. The next time you're in writing.
You want me with her again, officer? No.
Why, yes. I certainly hope you're going to be there to the
president. Right.
There may have been some doubt before we started before the billing trade behind you. You know that.
I think the real movers are shaped. Well, let me just respond by saying that I always value the relationship we've had in this administration with the building trades. We've met quite often. And I remember very well not only some of these matters that involve international relations. I mean, of course, being in an armed state in the economic recovery, housing, buildings led away, right? We had an armed state, therefore, in good labor management relations. It's quite heartening to know that they've been extremely good at this. So, bring it up. And you've been responsible for that, Jim, and all the others who worked with you at Hellman. But, and we want to continue to build on that. But I'm also keenly aware of the fact that, speaking of in terms of a quid pro quo, that after I made my speech on November 3rd, 1969, without my asking, the people who stood up the strongest were not the business people of this country, a few did. And they certainly weren't the educators and the media people, but they were the representatives of American labor. They called them hard ass. George Meade, of course, made a statement and so forth and so on. But many of you fellows were here, and whether it was that or the Cambodian decision or the decision on May 8th, the mine bomb, we had to do in order to protect our own forces and to have some leverage for potential settlement. The point is that the building trades were overwhelmingly in support of our policy. I say our policy. Somebody, for example, was, you know, there's a group that's set up that they call Democrats for Nixon. I spoke to their leaders when I was down in Texas the other day. Fact that you as leaders and some of the focused so firmly on the national security issue that it's been a great deal of trouble for the last 4 years, and it's been a great deal for the country. And I think you can be very proud of that, very proud of it. And some people, I remember at the American, they sort of sneered about the hard hats and all that sort of thing. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very happy to have such guys standing with me rather than against.
Mr. President, can I just say one more thing? I know you're in a hurry to get
out. Oh, that's right.
We are aware that there are some other people heading up labor committees for the re-election of President Nixon. They have nothing whatever to do with this action. This is a voluntary action taken by these general presidents.
I understand.
The only outsiders are Jim Hodgson and my Silverman, who are partners.
Right. I'm quite aware of that.
We were not talking to anyone else.
Right. We realized, too, that I have talked to you. I have talked to George Meade. He told me about neutrality, and I'm quite aware of it. And and the fact that you're indicating individual support and so forth, I'm aware of it. But we will respect that relationship. But we also figured that when you fall stick your neck out, you wouldn't do that unless you had a few followers. You know, it's an amusing thing. When I was talking to George Meany out there, he gets quite upset when people question whether or not he whether he can carry his views and they, with the board. And he said, you know what these fellows forget? He says, I have run for office too. And he says, the moment that I get too far out or I take a position that is not one that they're going to jump, they'll throw me out, which is really true. All of you have run for office, right?
Three of us had conventions in the last month.
Sure. And the point is, the moment that you're out of step with your rank and file, the moment that you risk state views, that you're not, that you sometimes may not, but the moment you do, you've got to answer to them. It's the same as us. So the idea that a leader of labor responsive to these members is ridiculous. As a matter of fact, he probably has more restrictions on him than a corporation president. A corporation chief executive officer, of course, must answer to the board of directors. The board of directors ostensibly must answer to the stockholders. But how many times do the stockholders throw out a chief executive officer? Right. Whereas in your case, when you talk about what is democratic, small d. Your labor union leader is likely to have a broader base of support, this be my guess, than some of the business leaders, right?
You're better at a broader
base of support. This is not a big corporation, man.
In addition, how many you elected? You're right, we have to get ourselves a
better job.
Try sometime to have wall-to-wall bricklayers, 2,500 of them, and try and tell them what you're trying to do, and have them all say, we'll do it unanimously. It doesn't happen, But the fact is that the majority made it possible for all of us to be here, and that's the reason why we can do what we're talking about right now, because the majority of our members are for us.
And our convention was set.
Our actions at this time was a part of our discussion. We're not standing alone.
I was reading the memoirs of Winston Churchill, and that rather sad period immediately after toward the end of World War II, I remember reading under Potsdam and met Truman for the first time, and Stalin. Roosevelt had died 2 months before. Churchill had to fly back to London because the British elections were held right in the middle of the Potsdam Conference. Well, it was widely thought in the world, at least, that he would win because basically his war, he had been kind of war on the other hand. There were great forces underneath him. I mean, he hadn't done much. His organization was not as impressive. But he recounts a conversation he had with Stalin
Yeah.
I got to go to New York and California.